This is How Was Your Weekend with Wendy and Brian. Look for updates at facebook.com/weekendpodcast or how.ws/yourweekend. While you're there, please subscribe. There are links for iTunes, Android, and more. Hey, Brian.
Hey, Wendy. How was your weekend?
It was awesome. How was yours?
Yeah, it was pretty good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Can't complain?
I can.
You can, but what's it going to do?
Yeah, exactly.
So, I just did a lot of hanging out with friends and stuff this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
But before I was hanging out with people, I had a friend do what I love. So you don't use iTunes, right?
I have iTunes
or whatever.
And I have some songs on iTunes, but okay. It's not my preferred platform.
So you can gift like songs on iTunes or albums or whatever.
Yeah.
So my friend sent me an album by Jason Isbell and the Nashville Sound, I think it's called. Because there were songs on there that he thought I would love.
Okay.
And I just got to thinking all weekend, I started like digging up old albums or old artists I hadn't listened to in a long time. And I stinking love music.
I do too.
You do?
Yeah, I do. I just have a weird eclectic taste.
So what is it about? Like, I know a lot of people be like, I love music. Like, and everybody has a connection. I think there's very few people that say, I don't care about music or whatever. But what is it about music that you love?
So for me, I like music that's evocative. So it usually invokes some sort of emotion, whether that's sadness, whether that's heartache, which I think are two different things.
Mm-hmm.
Like old country music.
Yes, you do. You like the good stuff.
Yeah. I've started listening to music that has made me inquisitive in a way.
Okay. Like what?
I would
never have classified music as inquisitive.
So
unless it was Grateful Dead, and that was just because people were high.
This was something you actually introduced me to.
Oh, really?
The Hamilton soundtrack.
Oh,
because
yeah.
Like listening to the soundtrack, I'm like, I want to know more about the life of Alexander Hamilton.
So like Broadway musical tunes.
Well, yeah, but like, it's not about Broadway musical. It's about music that's smart.
Okay.
And music that either has some sort of interesting message in it that I want to know more about, or something that just incites my curiosity.
Like the song from Metallica that you introduced me to. That's
you knew
about
that song.
A book. I did after you played it, but I didn't know what it was about.
Yeah, the song One. It's based on the movie Johnny Got His Gun, which is based on a book, Johnny Got His Gun, which is awesome and horrifying at the same time.
I'm going to read this book and we're going to talk about it because it's very disturbing to me, but I didn't know the song was about it.
Yeah, it is.
So I can see where so that's a good tie. And yeah, Hamilton was a great soundtrack.
Whatever
you want to call it.
Soundtrack's fine.
Yeah.
I'm a little obsessive compulsive. I don't know if you knew this.
No.
I never even
assumed.
I've listened to Hamilton probably at least 500 times.
Really?
Yeah.
I remember when I got it, I just over and over and over again. And now I've lent it out to some people, so I need to get it back because I was like singing it every single day. And then after we had that little experience of handing off music, you got me the Book of Mormon.
And
which was completely different, but completely hilarious all at the same time.
So I've always liked Broadway stuff, but mm-hmm. it just depends on the play. And based on the fact that the Book of Mormon, I think, was co-produced not only by the folks from South Park,
mm-hmm.
but also, unless I'm mistaken, I may totally be mistaken, but those who created Avenue Q.
Yes.
And I love Avenue Q. I've listened to that as often as I've listened to
Hamilton. Is that the ones with the puppets or Muppets?
Yes.
I haven't seen that. I want to see
I
that.
I adore that
okay,
so
I'm
going
to have to listen to that. I'm putting it on the list.
And I really thought that because of South Park and Avenue Q that I would have just fallen in love with the Book of Mormon, and I liked it because I listened to that before I listened to Hamilton.
Yeah,
but Hamilton is just—it's so
phenomenal.
Brilliant. It's so brilliant.
Like I can't wait to see it again in person. So I need to get that one back too. I love that. But I think about it. You make a very good point. So before Hamilton, I was trying to think about what other Broadway. Like I have friends who love Broadway, so you'll go out with them, and then they just break out in Broadway tunes, right? And it's like okay, but before that, I would have thought the only other Broadway show that music came from that went mainstream kind of were, you know, Beauty and the Beast or Phantom of the Opera.
Beauty and the Beast was a...
It's a Disney thing, yeah, too. Yeah,
that was the movie first.
Yeah, but then they turn it into... You know, they do all these things. But the other one was Wicked.
Never watched it. Never listened to the soundtrack.
Wicked had Gravity. And I remember I went and saw it. But before I went and saw...
Who did Wicked?
Oh, I don't even know. I'm not sure at all. But it's a great show. But my friends would like wander around singing Gravity and all this. And I'm like, what in the world are you doing? You people are nuts. And then you go see it and it gets stuck in your head like the Hamilton stuff. And so it's like, it's a great show. And like Lion King, I saw Lion King. It's amazing. But, right? The
cartoon's amazing enough.
Phil I don't Collins and, you know, Elton John and the Circle of Life and all those big shows that are big songs that came from that. So that's, yeah, I could see the inquisitive part and then how they all tie.
In another way, I like really smart hip hop.
They're smart hip hop.
Like, well, yeah, like nerdy stuff, like stuff by...
Like Weird Al Yankovic.
I love Weird Al.
I do too.
but I'm thinking like, gosh, some people may completely judge me, but Del the Funky Homo Sapien, do you know who that is?
I have no idea. I've never heard of Del
So, you know the Gorillaz?
Yes.
So, you know the song, yeah, Clint Eastwood. so, he is not a member of the Gorillaz, but that was him. He wrote that.
Okay.
He's the primary lead, a vocalist in that track. He collaborated with him on something else.
I'm feeling, okay, yeah. Sorry, I'm going to stop singing.
but Del, he's just this super smart, nerdy guy who inserts, he has like a incredibly high vocabulary for his music.
Okay.
One of my all time favorite albums is called Deltron 3030. It's basically this rap rock opera that takes place in the year 3030. I didn't much care for the follow up to it, but I love Deltron 3030 and I love his music because he either inserts like funny pop culture references into it or just nerd subculture stuff into it.
That's funny.
I really love his stuff.
Okay, so now I'm going to have to check this out. So
I don't know that it would be your thing.
Well, but just to change it up, right? Try
Deltron 3030 is freaking amazing.
Okay, Deltron 3030. I'm checking it out.
Okay.
So I love music, similar reasons. Like it evokes an emotion or a memory, mostly memories. Like I can tie songs to certain memories.
Me too. Or memories I never had.
Exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, and I just love talented people and singers, songwriters, like singer-songwriter stuff. I love that, right? People who really can just pin a song. It's amazing to me. But, when I was little, my mom can attest to this. I always said I was going to be Barbara Mandrill.
Nice! Not Crystal Gayle.
Not Crystal Gayle with the pretty long hair. Not Dolly Parton. Because why wouldn't I have picked Dolly Parton? Because she's a badass.
She is.
I picked Barbara Mandrell. And I think it's because I watched the Mandrell sister show growing up. But yeah, I thought I was going to be Barbara Mandrell. And obviously that didn't work out for me. But I've always liked country music.
That's interesting.
And I also always enjoyed... I like all sorts of music. Like I remember in high school... being the farm girl, rolling up in my pickup, and people thought, you know, George Strait would be blaring out of there, which it did. He is the man. However, I would be like blasting a little Sheryl Crow and Aerosmith and Metallica, and then all of a sudden I might have some Snoop Dogg playing, and people were like, what is happening and what is going on with this truck? But when I want to just chill and enjoy listening to music, I'm gonna bust out probably just good old country music.
So probably my all-time favorite artist, I not probably, definitely, is Johnny Cash.
Yes,
I love Johnny Cash. He's the best.
The Highwayman. Didn't like The Highwayman?
It's okay.
Okay.
But I think probably my favorite Johnny Cash song is not one of the songs he wrote. It's the one that Kris Kristofferson wrote, which is Sunday Morning Coming Down.
That is an amazing song.
And Kris Kristofferson's a genius. I mean, literally a genius.
The dude is awesome.
So Me and Bobby McGee is one of his songs.
I love that song.
Both of those songs are, again, evocative.
Yes.
So for me personally, Sunday Morning Coming Down reminds me a lot of my brother.
Okay.
Who was an alcoholic.
Yes.
And no doubt woke up in the, you know,
that
like
state.
That state all the time.
Yep.
And in places that he didn't know where he was, like when he was at home in his apartment. But like Me and Bobby McGee, which again, not Johnny Cash.
Yeah.
It's like a memory I don't have. Obviously, I didn't live that lifestyle. I didn't go thumbing across America or anything like that. I didn't, you know, I wasn't a girl singing the blues with a boy she met.
But could anybody else, like, I've heard other people do that cover, right? But Janis Joplin's version
is brilliant. It's brilliant.
The most
it's
perfect.
It's one of the greatest songs
There's
ever.
No one else who could have made that a hit. I swear to God.
But it's like that song put a memory in my brain that I don't have. And Sunday Morning Coming Down is a song that's kind of like that. You're talking about country, and you'll probably be surprised by this. Like everybody else in America, though, when I was a teenager, I loved Garth Brooks.
No,
and like all the Garth Brooks.
I've never been a Garth Brooks
interesting.
Fan.
Interesting.
Never.
Interesting. So, but
song, sorry, Garth.
But like now I can't really stand much of his stuff, but there's a song, and I think it was off his album The Chase.
The Thunder Rolls.
No.
Oh.
That was off of No Fences.
Oh, you did like him, because I don't even know what's on.
I think it was off The Chase. It's That Summer. May have been off. It may have been.
Oh, that was a good song. Yeah, that was a good song.
It's like it just conjures an image of, you know, being young and, you know, being out on your own for the first time and finding love and everything. And it's a very, I don't know.
Thought provoking.
Yeah. It's just interesting. So
it is a good song.
I like that song. I can listen to over and over again.
There's two reasons that I am not a Garth Brooks fan, and I should be. He went to Stillwater, to Oklahoma State, where I went. Like, there should be all these reasons why I think he's great. And I think he's very talented. I'm not taking it that way. There are two reasons. I could not stand, like, just, there was something about his voice and his presence that just drove me nuts. I just didn't like it. And then the whole loyalty factor. I am
his wife.
No. Well, that there's that whole thing too. No, this was before any of that. I am a hardcore George Strait fan. Like, people can argue with me. They can do whatever. George Strait is the freaking epitome of a cowboy country singer.
I love his early stuff.
And so
the earlier stuff,
when you would watch like the CMAs or the American Country Music Awards or whatever, and George Strait was like in the late 80s, all the 90s, he was the entertainer of the year and he was winning all these awards. And then Garth Brooks showed up and it was like Garth versus George. And he loves George and he's a big respecter. But I was like, no, it's George. You can't root for Garth. It was like that.
It's like it's
kind
the Broncos.
Of, it was like the Broncos. It was like the Broncos going against the Raiders, and Garth Brooks was the Raiders.
We live outside of Charlotte.
Yes.
And the Broncos
beat the Panthers.
And like the Panthers were having a record season, and everybody's giving Wendy crap.
And was I sassy? Was I rude?
But you stood up for yourself.
I did. I stayed loyal.
Yeah, well, yeah.
And I didn't say anything, and I let everybody think they were going to beat us, and then the next Monday I came in, and I didn't say anything, but a lot of people apologized. You know, it's just, it happened, I'm proud, I'm not a Cam Newton fan, and that was the only reason I was really excited, because I just didn't want to see him win. Chosen. Good Lord.
Good.
So, me and our friend Allison have had this conversation, because she's great with these kind of like talk about things and assess them in a deeper fashion. So we both love music. It evokes memories and joy and all this kind of stuff. Can you tell me the five albums, the most impactful, memorable, however you want to label it, the five albums in your life that you remember, you love, and you think were important during your life up to this point?
Yeah, absolutely. So the self-titled first album by The Doors.
Okay.
I love The Doors.
I love The Doors, too. I used to watch the movie all the time.
Yeah, movie kind of sucks, but yeah,
it's got a great movie, but me and my buddy Imby would just like chill and watch The Doors.
Actually, laying over here, I have the vinyl of it.
Nice.
Not the soundtrack, but the self-titled album. But from the opening track, Break On Through the End, I mean, it's so solid. And I went from being like a kid who was only listened basically to country music, and I was finding myself like dissatisfied with the state of country music at that point, because it was all of these plastic.
The decline occurred after the 90s.
No, it was firmly in the 90s.
Come on. It is. And that's, when did Garth Brooks appear?
Like, just saying. 89. But yeah, like, the Doors just opened up a new world to me, that music could be different than just, you know, a twang and a steel guitar.
Or bluegrass, which is popular here.
Yeah. So I still love that music, but. The Doors changed things, that and Pink Floyd, but I'm not.
The Wall, is that the album?
No, I'm not going to call out a specific thing.
Okay.
But yeah, I would say the first really impactful album to me was the Doors. I mean, I could mention No Fences by Garth Brooks, but I don't really think that had a major impact.
Okay.
I think I'll go probably next to American 3, which was. Well, realistically, probably American 4, which was the Johnny Cash, Rick Rubin album. It was the fourth, and obviously in the series, it was the one. It's not the best album. That's 3, I think.
Okay.
Where Johnny Cash, basically, it was Johnny Cash, and the backup band was the Heartbreakers.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so brilliant album, but the American 4 probably reintroduced me to Johnny Cash. I had always loved Johnny Cash, but it was like, this is a whole new sound.
The cool thing about him. He always looked for different.
Yeah. So his old music, his older stuff, always had, I guess I like to put it, like almost an archetypal type of theme behind it. Like it would be about stories about things, but they're archetypal, I think. And a lot of this stuff, though, was also modern and current. But a lot of that stuff never picked up. His songs that were very, he did a lot of songs that were very progressively social, but mm-hmm. nobody ever really listened to that stuff. Mm-hmm. But he did some of that stuff in this American series, and I think that picked up. Probably next would be the Flaming Lips, Yoshimi versus the Yoshimi battles the Pink Robots. I don't know why I got that wrong.
That's the title.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
So have you never heard of the Flaming Lips?
I've heard of the Flaming Lips. I've like listened to a few of their things, but I've not in depth. So now I'm going to get this list from you and like check it all out.
Yeah. So, but
I need to broaden my horizons a little.
Oh, well, that's the thing. So,
even though I think I'm diverse, there's plenty that I'm not.
So with, that it's not their best album. I think my favorite's probably Soft Bulletin. But that, my friend Jason, that came out in 2002. I guess he was listening to it around 2003. Yoshimi Battles the Pink Robots is just an incredibly, incredibly expanded sound from anything that I'd ever listened to before. Very psychedelic. But the lyrics are really smart. And they tell a story that music doesn't, to me, never told before. There was... like a psychedelic sci-fi vibe to it.
Okay.
That I just really changed the way that, like, the Doors, obviously it's not classical music, but it's music in a classical sense, that what we would know music as, mm-hmm. where Yoshimi and most of the Flaming Lips stuff is very much it's musical. It's very musical, but also it's an expanded, like, palette. And stuff would come up that you wouldn't normally consider instrumental.
Mm-hmm.
From there, it's probably Deltron 3030.
Yes.
It's a brilliant album. I love it.
Checking this out.
It's Yoshimi is, it's sort of expanded my mind of what music could be.
Well, you said it's kind of not, it's like electronic, but not like.
Yeah, it's so.
Instrumentally, it's different than country.
Yeah, if you think of like a synthesizer, a synthesizer typically tries to replicate like instruments that you know.
Uh-huh.
But a synthesizer can also replicate sounds, even though I guess by
it's just like noises to me. It's like coordinated noises.
Coordinated noises is a good way of putting it.
Which is what music is. Okay.
Well, again, with the Flaming Lips stuff.
Sounds, they expand, I guess I should say, not
they expand what the sound set is. But Deltron 3030 is very much, it really tells a story about life and the, it paints a picture of what life in the, I guess that would be the 31st century is like.
Oh, okay.
And it's amazing.
Oh, futuristic.
Yeah.
Ah.
I guess the
okay,
one
so that, we've got the
that's
Doors.
That's four.
Okay,
so
yeah.
I guess the next one that probably changed the way that I listen to music went all the way back in the opposite direction.
Okay.
So the music that sort of something that I always ignored was like hard rock.
Okay.
And like metal. I mean, I liked AC/DC and things like that, but it was never my thing. But then I finally listened to Ride the Lightning by Metallica.
Uh-huh.
And it may be my favorite album of all time.
That one's pretty great.
Most people would say that Master of Puppets is the best album, maybe, but my favorite is Ride the Lightning. I love it. And it again made me appreciate music that I never really would have appreciated when I was younger, because again, when I was younger, it was all country stuff and I grew up very sheltered. And if it wasn't,
for music,
or music or anything. So like if it like AC/DC, I thought, oh, you're going to go to hell if you listen to that stuff.
Yeah.
So, you know,
hell's bells.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So, but Ride the Lightning made me appreciate stuff that I had just completely forsaken in the past.
So does everybody like Master of Puppets because of Sandman?
No, it's Black. The Black Album.
Is that the Black Album?
Yeah, that's
I don't know enough. I know more songs than I know albums. You're impressing me so much with your knowledge of the actual albums. I'm like, I remember a song off the album. Some of the albums I remember, but. Oh, okay.
But like from Ride the Lightning, of course, you have... I guess my favorite song on it's Creeping Death.
Okay.
Because it's a song about the Book of Exodus.
Oh, okay. Now I do. Yes, I know this one.
Yeah.
And, I know this but one. I've heard
make,
it in
they
ages.
They make the Book of Exodus a badass story about... so, of course, the Passover, the highlight of the song is the Passover scene, basically, where the idea that people would put the blood, lamb's blood, over their door.
Uh-huh.
And if you didn't, your firstborn son would die. So basically, it personifies that whatever killed the firstborn son as a creeping gas cloud of death. So that's why it's called Creeping Death. It's such an amazing song. And I've never seen Metallica live, which I regret to this day. But apparently that is the absolute number one best song they do. And it's amazing every time anybody goes. So,
I guess they don't play that often anymore. So
no, they still do. Apparently just about every show.
Oh, all right. Well, mine are not as interesting as yours. I'm going to say that. And more.
I bet they are.
They're more the song than the album, because I haven't done my research on the albums, but there's so many that I have. But if I think
I'm just obsessive compulsive.
Well, you're curious and you fulfill all your curiosity to the fullest commitment, and I don't go there. I'm like, it'd be interesting.
People describe my communication style often as an info dump.
It is an info dump, but so, it's okay. This is how I learn things, and then makes me feel like I need to be more smart about discussions that I'm having.
Obsessive compulsive.
So this sounds like smart and dumber over here with this conversation.
Not at all.
So, The list tends to change, but for the most part, there's some standard ones. Loved, I don't know the album, but the Billy Joel album that has Uptown Girl. Because
yeah, I don't know. And I like Uptown Girl.
And I like Billy Joel. I have like his set. It has all of
it. It's on his greatest hits.
It's on his greatest, yeah. But I have his set. But I love that song because it reminds me of driving to school very young with my mom and my brother in the car jamming out. And Billy Joel just really had such a unique voice and the piano, and, you know, it was, and it's just a fun, like I always say, kind of like slappy, happy, weird music, not weird music. I just like happy music for the most part. So that one's very memorable to me just because it evokes memories with my mom and my brother and everything else. And Billy Joel is really talented dude. I would say George Strait. There's a million songs that I love of George Strait.
What's your favorite?
My favorite George Strait song, Baby Blue.
Oh, mine's Amarillo by Morning.
But you know, he wasn't the original artist
of Amarillo by Morning?
Correct.
I didn't know that.
You know who it was?
No, who was it?
Chris LeDoux.
Chris LeDoux, okay.
Which Chris LeDoux is a badass.
Yeah, I didn't think he went back that far.
Yes. So Chris LeDoux was the original, I think he wrote the song and the original artist of Amarillo by Morning, which is a great song. And I love Chris LeDoux. That reminds me of high school because my friend and her little brother was a bronc rider. And so we had to listen to Chris LeDoux exhaustion.
Do you like his duet with Garth Brooks, What You Gonna Do with a Cowboy?
Oh, gosh.
I can sing that word for word.
I like that song simply because Chris LeDoux is in it, not because of Garth Brooks. And I kind of, my opinion of Chris LeDoux was like, come on, man. But Chris LeDoux is amazing. But I love Baby Blue. It's probably one of my favorite. It is that or The Chair is like right up there. But my favorite George Strait album was Carrying Your Love With Me.
And I don't know which one is that.
It's the one that came out around like when Forrest Gump came out and all
93.
That. There was lots of
September 93, I think.
Yes. So, you know, it would have come out. Carrying Your Love With Me came out in like 98, 99, 99.
Maybe I'm thinking of The Fugitive. I'll tell you. Forrest Gump definitely came out in 93, though.
Okay. I don't know why I made the connection between the two, but somehow maybe I did it after the fact. But I love that album just because it came out while I was, when did it come out?
I was wrong.
Am I on drugs?
No. July of 94. I was certain Forrest Gump was 93.
Well, giddy up. They're still way apart. So I just connected the two. Apparently, I was watching Forrest Gump.
Well, sometimes you think you know what you know.
And you don't.
And you don't.
That's a question you're going to learn on one of these podcasts. What did you think you knew, but you don't?
There's so much.
There is a lot. So I love the Billy Joel album with Uptown Girl. I love Carrying Your Love With Me album from George Strait. I was a No Doubt Tragic Kingdom person. It came out when I was a freshman in college, and I'm Just a Girl was like epic for me at that moment. In my life. There's so many other things that are great about that album, but I am a No Doubt person.
Interesting.
The early days of No Doubt. Because I kind of liked the ska. I liked the upbeat tempo. Like, ska music's kind of fun, I think. So,
really? So who's your favorite ska band?
I don't know any bands. I just know.
I can't think of the band. Never mind. There were
some kind of, I don't know if they classify strictly as ska, but I would listen. I know what it is when it comes on. I don't know the bands. I don't know the singers, but I liked Tragic Kingdom. So that's three. Loved the album with Reba with The Lights Went Out in Georgia.
That's the name of the album, isn't it?
Maybe.
I think it is.
And I don't know if Fancy was on that one either. I'm a big fan of the Fancy song.
Here's your one chance. Fancy don't let me down.
That's right.
Stacy and I were singing that to each other recently.
I'm just saying, first of all, the woman has an incredible voice, very unique voice. But I love The Night the Lights Went Out in Georgia because there's just, to me, it's like, I would do this.
The Mighty Mighty Boss Tones is who I was thinking of.
Oh. I listened to that. I wouldn't buy their album, but I remember driving to their songs and thinking it was cool.
I'm not in ska.
And there's a toss up for five, but this sounds kind of dorky and weird. And when it comes on the like 90s radio or early 2000s radio, I loved the Spin Doctors.
Really?
Yes.
Would not have guessed that.
I don't know what it was. It was, and again, it's upbeat and fun and whatever. And it was just nonsense. It didn't make you think, but it was happy music, I guess. There was a lot of that I liked. Those things, like I think about those, like imprinting memories and stuff in my, like in my early adulthood. Now I have a bunch, you know, that it would change, and there's tons of albums like The Beatles, Yellow Submarine. Like that whole, my mom was a Beatles fan, like listening to her vinyl. I can go on. There's probably not a top five, but those that I listed are ones like I will always go and be like, I remember just playing those songs and those albums over and over and over and over. And if I hear them now or I find them, I play them over and over and over and over because there's so many good songs on them. But there's very little music that I can say I just absolutely don't like.
So, it was really hard for me to limit it to five, but I like that you did that because I had to think really hard about it.
Yes, and you did very good compared to me. I
love music. I really do.
I know.
And a lot of, like, and I bet. I think you actually said this, like, Brian, you know, I've known you for a fairly long time, yeah. but I don't know what kind of music you like.
I did say that. Yeah.
Everybody says that.
Because that's the topic we never really, and then we got into it and we're like, oh, we like a lot of the same, like, old school country music. Like, remember when we were talking about The Convoy? Who was the guy?
McCall. Something McCall.
Yes. Those were great songs.
Is it?
And then I think we were talking a little bit about, well, we talked about Johnny Cash and like Willie Nelson and kind of that whole genre and era of singer-songwriters.
C.W. McCall.
Like all his stuff. We were talking about that, like just geeking out, loving it.
So when I was like two or three, my favorite song, and I still play this sometimes just basically to get on Kim's nerves, was the Oak Ridge Boys' Elvira.
Remember?
Yeah,
remember
absolutely.
When I sent it out as Sing Along Friday to the team and everybody was like, who's Elvira?
I don't remember.
I played
that.
It in the staff meeting and I was like, it's Sing Along Friday.
There? I don't think I was there.
You must have missed it.
I would have popped.
Because you would have loved it.
Elvira. God, I love that song.
That was awesome. So then.
My heart's on fire.
Sing it, Kilbs.
I've sung on plenty of podcasts before. I'm not going to do it on this one.
You know what? The thing, I can't believe I left this person out. And people are going to be like, God, she's so lame. But when I was in Catholic school,
mm-hmm.
I adored Cyndi Lauper.
My phone rings in the middle of the night. yeah.
No. So in first grade, we had a talent show in Catholic school. And me and my friends, Stephanie and Jana, that we lip sync to Girls Just Want to Have Fun. And
that's a great song.
And the nuns, I'm pretty sure, thought we were going to hell.
That song is so tame.
I know, but we're first graders in Catholic school. I wanted to get the waffle mark like shaved in my head. My dad was like, what is happening to my daughter? I loved Cyndi Lauper.
It could have been Madonna.
Yes, he would have been. But yeah, and I, listen.
How do people compare
the two?
I think they're anything remotely the same.
They're not. They never were. I appreciate Madonna. I have Madonna
She's
albums.
Phenomenal.
She's phenomenal. But she is not Cyndi Lauper. Cyndi Lauper is just this unique, quirky, no other voice, just fun person. And I loved that I grew up with Cyndi Lauper. And my very first vinyl album, you want to take a guess? What was yours?
It was Grandpa Jones' Greatest Hits. I was actually talking to Kim today about it.
Were you really?
Did you see on Facebook when I posted the question?
You got off Facebook?
Yeah. So I did this on the computer. I posted, looking for recommendations for a dog playlist for my Amazon Echo so the dogs can have tunes to listen to.
Okay.
And one of the songs on it was Rattler, Old Rattler. It's about a hound dog or a hunting dog
uh-huh.
who is blind. And that was on there. God, I love that song.
Mine, lame and pretty common, was Thriller.
It's not my favorite Michael Jackson album.
No.
That's Off the Wall.
Yes, Off the Wall was
off
great.
Off the Wall was brilliant.
It is his best album. I agree completely.
Thriller's great. I'd probably put Thriller's number two.
Yes. I danced around with my cousin from Nebraska in our living room until she wanted to probably stuff me in a closet and just never hear Michael Jackson again. So the year that we got to buy our own records, I got Thriller. My brother got Born to Run by Bruce Springsteen.
So that was what you picked that yourself.
Yes.
The first, that's a single. I'm not going to count it, but the first music I bought myself was the single to On Our Own, which was the Bobby Brown song from Ghostbusters 2.
Oh, yeah. This is awesome.
But the first, the first CD that I ever got, and I picked it out. I got a CD player for Christmas in 1996.
Uh-huh.
The first CD that I ever bought was a Christmas CD, and it was Garth Brooks' Beyond the Sea.
Okay. So, since we're on the topic of music, and this may go long, but it's music.
Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah.
I don't know what my first CD was. That's really interesting. It was probably George Strait. I would be shocked if it wasn't.
My second CD was Classic Queen. My third CD was The Simpsons, their first CD, where they basically had original music and it was terrible.
So, top three favorite concerts.
I don't go to concerts that often, so mine would all probably be the same band. Because I'm obsessive compulsive and listen to the same
and
CD
I like
over,
what I like.
I go to the same, I used to go see the same band all the time.
Okay. What is it? Your favorite concert ever.
You
pulled out your vinyl, which I love, by the way, because I just went and got not all, but a lot of my mom's vinyl and her old record player last summer, and I can't wait to get it fixed so I can listen. It's going to be awesome.
So probably my favorite band that is not like Metallica that's still around would be a band out of Chapel Hill called Southern Culture on the Skids. Absolutely love Southern Culture on the Skids.
Zombify.
This is Zombify. This is their Halloween album.
I've never even heard of them.
I love them.
This is a great cover
probably,
on this album.
Yeah, you probably wouldn't know anything they did. Their biggest hit came out in the early 90s. It was called Camel Walk.
Uh-huh.
But I think probably it was probably the one either in Cat's Cradle or their album at, one place out in Raleigh. I can never name it. No, Cat's Cradle is Raleigh.
Yeah. That you listened to.
Yeah, so probably their concert, the Cat's Cradle, was probably my favorite.
Your favorite.
Yeah.
Any others?
No, I mean.
That's really it.
Yeah,
a loyalist to the fault.
Mostly every other concert, for the most part I ever go to, is something I go with somebody else, and I just never like it. Like, I saw freaking Taylor Swift in concert. I didn't want to see Taylor Swift.
Come on. You don't like Tay-Tay?
No.
Oh, okay. I'm not going to disagree with that. She can have some pretty upbeat songs.
I'll say this. So, it's a concert I actually helped put on.
Okay.
So, when I was working for the nonprofit, they put on, it was religious music.
Uh-huh.
And it's not necessarily my thing, but I really loved, it was like this volunteer event, and we had to do a little bit of everything to pull the concert together, from promotion to literally putting up the venue. So I did that in 2009. It was in Wilkesboro.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a lot of fun, just because so much went into it.
Yes. So that was fun.
That was fun.
First concert I ever went to, I think, was Charlie Pride at the county fair.
Interesting.
When I was younger. And Charlie Pride was an amazing singer. He had a great voice. Kiss an Angel, Good Morning. And then I think top three favorite concerts. Okay, so I went to George Strait like every year growing up. So there wasn't a favorite. They were just all great. I would say Stevie Nicks.
Okay.
I was not anticipating me loving Fleetwood Mac, Stevie Nicks as much as I did, because I had a friend invite me and I liked listening to her stuff with my mom growing up or whatever, but she was amazing in concert. Oddly, the most violent concert I've ever been to, which made no sense to me whatsoever, was Tom Petty.
Really?
People were smoking pot. You thought they'd be chill.
It's a Tom Petty concert.
Yeah. Well, you thought they'd be chill and they were just fighting and crazy the whole time. The concert was good and Tom Petty did great, but I was like, what is happening? This seems so opposite of what should be happening at a Tom Petty concert. And then really, really amazing concert, Judd's farewell concert.
Really? You saw that?
Oh.
Was it part of like a farewell tour, or was it like their real
farewell? It was the real farewell tour.
I mean, or was it like the real farewell
concert? No, not the final okay. one. No, I wish, but in Denver... I loved that album too. That's probably top 10 for sure. But the Judds were amazing. That was an incredible stinking concert.
That's interesting.
I mean, it was so much fun. And then I would say the worst concert I've ever been to.
Oh, I can probably name several of the worst.
Okay. One of the worst of the worst was Def Leppard.
Really?
It was horrible. It was horrible. I was so disappointed because I jammed to Def Leppard like a crazy person when I was in elementary school. And it was so disappointing. I saw him when I was like 20 or something. And I was like, this is the worst concert I've ever been to. It was sad. I was really sad that it was so horrible. I had high expectations for them. But that was probably the worst that I've ever been to.
Probably the worst for me, just because I hated it, was that one that Taylor Swift was at.
Taylor Swift.
Hated it.
I would also say I did not enjoy Brad Paisley. Sorry. It was not a good concert. I was like, nope, over it. We're leaving. And I really have to not like what's happening to leave a concert. I'm in it to win it once I get there. So unless it's just like, okay, I know this song and we're going to beat the crowd because of whatever. But for the most part, I'm hanging in there. No doubt about it. So, but I like, do you prefer, I would say you don't like to go to concerts as a norm.
I mean, if it's a band that I like.
Yeah.
Or if it's a band that I would get a chance to see. I don't like the crowds.
Yep.
I don't like gigantic venues for stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause I don't think it's an ideal music experience.
Yes.
So, yeah, I guess for the most part, I don't like concerts. I like bar shows, like where Southern Culture on the Skids. Typically, it's going to be in a bar or a very small venue
where you can hang out and kind of wander around. Yeah. Okay, so I would say, Brian Kilby, you need to listen to this Jason Isbell album that my friend sent to me. And this is what I love. I love friends who ask me if I've heard a new song or if I've heard this album. Like, I like that. That, 'cause I feel like if somebody knows... This is weird, or maybe it's cliche. I don't know. You tell me, Kilby. You judge away on me.
I judge like a mofo.
But if somebody sends you something that's not your typical, well, it might be your typical music that they know you're going to like, but if they send you something that they know you're going to like, but it's a little different than you're used to, you're like, yeah, we're friends. Like, this person gets me. This is awesome. If somebody gets like what kind of music to send me, I feel like your friendship's on a whole different level.
Yeah, I'm actually trying to pull up what my friend Jason sent me.
Okay.
It was something I'd never heard of before, and I didn't love all of it, but yeah. I liked most of it.
Okay, so this album, I messed up a little bit. It's Jason Isbell and the 400 Unit, and the album's called The Nashville Sound. I think the lyrics are very like intriguing and like evoking, like you said. Very memory driving. It's really cool. So you gotta check it out.
So, what Jason sent me? It's a band. I would have to say,
yeah,
or a group. It's different people, but it's called Scott Bradley's Postmodern Jukebox.
Jukebox.
Yeah, it's they're all covers.
Okay,
but they're covers in like anachronistic kind of style. So, I wish I could play. We can't play music.
That sounds
So, like,
I'll have to check that one out.
I'm actually looking at the text exchange they had with Jason when we were talking about this. Like, one song I would never really listen to is No Diggity. But the cover of that's pretty amazing. They do a cover of Sweet Child of Mine that is amazing.
It is good. That's true.
There's a lot of songs that, like, I in my note here, I put that they did a cover of Ice Ice Baby, which is pretty terrible. But most of their stuff is really good.
Okay, I'll have to check that. So I just had a great question and it's left my brain. Oh, no. Oh, okay. This is the thing. Honestly, dude, we kind of got screwed.
How?
Because we grew up like in the 90s and the 90s music was not great. It really wasn't. I mean, some people, it was very R&B. So there was some really great R&B in the 90s.
Country music sucked in the 90s.
Country music was starting to turn into
grunge,
like,
was mostly crap.
Which Nirvana, I love Nirvana. Sucks. I had a friend, he got me turned on to Nirvana. I liked Nirvana.
There's a couple songs.
Foo Fighters, you can give or
I
take.
Like some of the later Foo Fighters stuff better.
There's a few little shiny nuggets in there, but for the most
Pearl
part,
Jam's okay.
It was crap. It doesn't compare to like the 70s or the 80s. The 70s were like
the best.
Yes. They had amazing music in the 70s. It was such a, I mean, you had a very wide ranging things going on in the 70s. You had people breaking out of the norm, and then you had still the traditional music that was happening in the 50s and 60s still.
One of my favorite exchanges that I've had with Kim is we were driving down the road and she was playing stuff that she used to listen to, hip hop.
Uh-huh.
And it was stuff from the 90s. And I just, whenever she plays something, for the most part, I have no idea what it is.
TLC. I did love TLC.
And, like, we had to go to this I Heart the 90s concert, and I didn't know a thing other than just, like, one or two things.
Gosh, that was awesome.
And she asked me, what did you listen to in the 90s? And my response was, music from the 70s.
Yeah.
And I still do.
It's, I mean, there was memorable stuff. I mean, you had Vanilla Ice, you had Color Me Bad, you had all those things, but it wasn't good music.
No.
It wasn't good songwriting. It was just dance your tail off, which, you know, ain't gonna hate you for that. But you got a lot of nonsense in the 90s. So the 70s, I think, is probably one of the best eras for music. I agree with you there, sir. Yeah. All right. Well, what else? Anything else about music? I don't think so.
I don't think so. But if you're not listening to music, you should be listening to podcasts, and you can subscribe to us at our website.
That's right. Or visit us on Facebook.
Or visit us on Facebook. Yeah. Yes. Just look for How Was Your Weekend on Facebook.
Yeah.
And go to tfradio.net for all of our podcasts, and you can subscribe there. There's a big button at the top of the page.
Subscribe.
Please do.
Yes. Like us. Whatever that's... Give us feedback.
Give us feedback.
We need some feedback. We gave you a number... Yeah.
931-994-6268.
There you go. Do it the old school way.
Yeah.
Tell us you suck or you're great.
Just like the '70s.
Just like the '70s. Pick up the
phone. One ringy dingy.
One ringy dingy. All right, Kilbs. Well, I've really loved this. We may need to revisit this.
I think this was awesome.
To incorporate music in another podcast, because I'm gonna be going to some concerts this summer.
Good.
So we may have to, and we may need to just go check out a band I don't know. Like,
yeah, let's do
this.
It.
Southern culture.
Playing.
Are they? We'll do it.
Scotts.com.
All right.
Sweet.
All right. See you next time. This was How Was Your Weekend with Wendy and Brian. Please subscribe at our website, howwas.yourweekend. That's howws.yourweekend. Please leave a review and tell a friend.